This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Julie McCrossan is a name that is very, very well known to our community, and myself, Macca, Tass, Justin Smith from 3AW, and Robert Doyle, the Lord Mayor of Melbourne, is here, Julie, and we want to hear about the latest thing you're involved in, Legacy of Sydney's First Mardi Gras, which was 1978. And I should say, I'm a 78er, so...
No. You don't look a day over 75.
I know. No,
I agree
with
that.
You still got the tutu.
And so, Julie, tell us about it. Well, first off, where is it? Where does it start, and where does it start, the show?
Oh, golly, that's a big question. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Great,
good morning.
Great to join you from this sad city to the north. look, I think, you know, I'm talking at the Sydney Opera House on Sunday about the first Mardi Gras, and I guess the first thing to say is that that particular day involved a number of events. There was a demonstration march in the morning through the city. There was a forum in the Paddington Town Hall in the day. There was the march up to King's Cross at night where 53 people were arrested with great violence. And then after that, all those arrests, hundreds more people gathered at Darlinghurst Police Station up near Taylor Square in Sydney, what's now known as a sort of rainbow area, to help bail out the 53 people. And then the following Monday morning, there was another huge demonstration at the court when the 53 people had to appear. So I was involved in all of those events except the riot up the cross. I've spent my life saying I actually wasn't up the cross, even though some people claim to have seen me there. But they've broadened the definition of 78er to cover those broader events. But what, you know, I guess for me, for people who aren't familiar with it, it actually all began much, much earlier. Regular demonstrations, protests, advocacy for decriminalisation of homosexuality, for removing homosexuality from the mental illness guidelines of the American Psychiatric Association, advocacy to say it wasn't against God's will. That all began very vocally in the early 70s, and at the Opera House on Sunday, I'm going to be showing photographs, almost like a slide night, of demonstrations in 1974, when a young lesbian girl studying under a teacher's college scholarship at Macquarie University in Sydney wrote a very low-key lesbian love poem in the student newspaper and lost her teacher's college scholarship and never got it back. At 75, a man called Mike Closey went on a show called Checkerboard on ABC TV and was discussing why he thought there should be decriminalisation, and he immediately lost his job in a Catholic school, and we all demonstrated at St Mary's.
Well, so that hasn't changed. That part hasn't changed.
Well, I think it has changed, actually. Can I comment on that?
Yes. Well, I was going to say that, you know, some senior church officials, well, Archbishop Hart in Melbourne, have said that if you're same-sex married and you're an employee of the Catholic Church, they're going to sack you. They're going to sack you.
But I still would say there's change. Of course, the Catholic Church worldwide and the Sydney Anglicans worldwide are probably leading advocates against acceptance of having a homosexual relationship if you wish to participate in faith. But there has been a change since the 70s, if I could put it as an ageing woman in her 60s. Back in my early days, it was total condemnation. We were told we were damned. I was told I was damned. I went mainly to Anglican girls' schools and was a very sincere Christian and asked my minister and got, you are again, I didn't ask about me, of course, I was more careful, but I got a total condemnation message, which was very devastating because I didn't hear anybody say something different for at least a decade. But the message now is more nuanced. You know, the Pope is still saying homosexuals are intrinsically disordered, but so long as you don't have a relationship, you are permitted to come to church and to take communion. I still think, obviously, it's immensely cruel to suggest to someone you must never have a loving partnership, obviously. But it is a more nuanced negativity. And they do employ people. I think the assertion was that if you were seeking to get married or to be open, to break the silence, then you were at risk of being sacked. But I think the good news is, because on your program we want to spread good news, yes, is that there are Catholic... I was part of a media conference in Sydney this week, and there was one over in Perth as well. I'm not sure if there was one in Melbourne, of Australian Christians for Marriage Equality. But at the one that I was part of, there were people from the Uniting Church, from the Anglican Church, and from the Catholic Church.
Julie, it's Justin here. Could you take us back, please, to 1978? And I'm interested, as one of the only heterosexuals in the room, I'm interested in...
Oh,
the
no, there's three. We've got
we're
balance.
We're dominated this
We've
morning.
Got balance. We're being dominated.
Wow, I'll have to change the name of the show to something else. Julie, I want to know about the faces of the people in 1978 that were seeing the Mardi Gras for the very first time, people that didn't know what to expect, but they saw it as the panoply went by. What were their faces like?
Look, the Mardi Gras of today in Sydney, just like your own Pride in Melbourne, is a completely different thing to what was happening in 1978. In 1978, the people on the side of the road looked shocked. They looked concerned. Very few ever waved and said, good on you. And the look of it, the group that went up the cross, you know, if you look at all the photographs of the time, the costumes were very low-key. They were perhaps from op shops. There was one truck with one speaker playing music. It was a completely different thing. It was like a little egg that hadn't yet turned into an exciting peacock. You know, it was courageous to march.
That was
Mecca's
float, I believe.
You know what? I'm trying to convey what it was. I mean, it was thrilling to fight back against prejudice.
Julie, but it's Robert
but
here.
You didn't get a warm response.
Julie, it's Robert here. You're talking about 78. My wife studied law in Tasmania, and one of her great heroes was her criminal law lecturer, who refused to teach the part of the criminal code which made homosexuality illegal in Tasmania. That law lecturer is now the governor of Tasmania,
wow,
which is a remarkable thing when you think about it. And Emma still remembers that very clearly, that it was made very plain that although it was still in the criminal code in Tasmania, it would not be taught at the University of Tasmania. She's got these judge crushes. That's one crush she has. The other crush she has is Michael Kirby, which is very worrying to me, but never mind.
So I was just going to say, Julie, it's at the Opera House, and for you, what is the legacy of 1978? What is the legacy?
Well, I'd say two quick things, is that okay?
Sure, I mean, absolutely.
The first thing I'd say was that a man called Ron Austin, who's still alive and who still comes to Mardi Gras, he's in his 80s, it was his idea to turn it into a celebration and not a protest. And I think that was an act of genius, even though at the time I was an angry sort of left-wing activist from Sydney University and I wasn't sure about that suggestion. But he was smack on, because by making it a celebration, two things happened. One is people who were gay or transgender, lesbian, who didn't want to get arrested, who didn't want to risk their family throwing them out of home, who didn't want to risk shame and embarrassment in front of their employer through getting, into action with police, they were able to either join us or watch from the sidelines and clap. Because many gay and lesbian people didn't want to change the world generally, they just wanted equality before the law. And the second thing is that it invited the broader community to come along to really what became a kind of entertainment. But that building of empathy through wit and humour and costume, I think, played a critical role in changing attitudes. And I think the second message is that you need to stand up in whatever way you can for what you believe in. Because my first demonstration was in 1973. It was over 10 years until we had decriminalisation in New South Wales. We didn't get decriminalisation until 1984. And I know that Tasmania, that you've mentioned, it wasn't until the 90s. Yeah. And I'm sorry, I'm not sure the year in Victoria. But
it was 74, 75, yeah, under the Hamer government.
Hamer, I think.
Yeah.
I've been surprised, but it's possible.
Yeah, it was just after New South Wales, I think.
And, no,
it was
actually more recently, the Andrews government expunged the old convictions as well.
Yes, I think it would have been later in the 70s because New South Wales wasn't until 84.
Yeah.
But my point is that you have to stand up for what you believe in and in whatever way you can, and speak out. And that's true now, obviously, in relation to marriage equality. But, I've been yearning and hoping that my Christian faith community would accept me fully since I was a little girl. I mean, since I was 13. I'm now 62. But I can tell you that when I got married over in New York in 2014 after a cancer diagnosis, because I didn't feel I could wait long enough for Australia, I came back, and my Uniting Church, where I go to church in South Sydney, conducted a blessing service, and we had over 250 people at that service. So sometimes you just have to get on with your life in a constructive and positive way.
Well, Julie,
and
one of our religious leaders here, Rick Holland, who is now at St. Michael's, the Uniting Church here, he's come out very strongly in favour of marriage equality. And made a very bold statement on behalf of, he would be seen as one of the leaders of that church. So there are signs here that the faith community is moving. Some parts are not, some parts are.
And I was just
that's
telling,
right. But the Uniting Church in Australia does allow homosexual people to be ordained and to have relationships. Mm. So they're the leaders. The Quakers are also very open. Mm.
The interesting thing about this, Julie, is I agree with you. We don't need permission. We shouldn't have to ask for permission. We shouldn't have to expect to be recognised. We shouldn't have to expect to be treated equally. That was why I was there in 1978.
Yeah.
But, look, we have to go. Good luck with the show.
Yeah.
We'll have you back on in a few weeks and you can let us know how it's gone.
Well, thanks for having me on. Great to talk to you.
A pleasure.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.